Did he talk to Varner or?
The preacher's coming this morning.
Oh, well, is that just from yesterday? This is.
Well, the preacher they called this morning.
Yeah, well, I know. We was up there yesterday afternoon, and you know, his blood count was still way down.
Yeah.
And so they get that blood count back up. They couldn't go in there and see what was blocking his bowels.
Well, like so, the preacher said, they called this morning and said it took a time for the worse. So.
I know he didn't look good yesterday either.
So he said, remember my prayer and said, what he thought about it. It's just about a matter of time.
Phew.
So just remember him.
Man, when this is
Mission.
Yeah. You know, while you're talking about that, I do want to tell you, man, I don't tell you enough, but I appreciate more than you know your support for me up in King. A lot of reasons, but I really do appreciate it. I don't take it for granted. And every week I go, well, every month, first of the month, I go up there to pay them. I thank God for these men in here and for our church that takes care of that, because it would really be a burden to me if I had to pay it myself. I know God would take care of it, but I don't take it for granted. I appreciate you men's support for the ministry.
Humanly, we'd find it worth
it. Yeah, yeah. So I really do appreciate it. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 today. Romans chapter 5. Actually, I've got enough material here today to probably... I could probably spend at least 3 weeks on the lesson, but I just want to cover the main part today, what I want us to see. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 9. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible says, much more then being now justified by his blood. To be honest with you, there's so much in these several scriptures I'm going to read, or you could spend 6 months on one scripture. So there's a lot here, but I want to cover something else. But much more than now being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. What wrath? Wrath of God. Okay. Verse 10. For if when we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. Now, verse 11 is what I want you to notice. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received the atonement. That's what we're going to look at this morning, the atonement of Christ. Well, let's pray first. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, to be back in church this morning. And I want to thank you, Father, for the health, God, that you've given each one of us to be here. And help us, Father, to never take for granted what we've got. And I pray, God, for these prayer requests again, God, that Brother Larry prayed for, and I'm sure other men in here prayed while he did. And I pray, God, your will be done in each and every one of them. And we realize, Father, that you know exactly what's going on. Lord, you've got everything under control. And we just trust in you. I pray, God, especially today for Verna, God, that you'd encourage her and the family in this situation with Arno. And your will be done in that. Pray you bless the message. Pray you bless Brother Joe and Kay as they're gone. And give them a good week. And we thank you and praise you for all you do. For asking in Jesus' name. Amen. The atonement of Christ. Now, there's a lot of different areas that we could look at the atonement of Christ. But first of all, what does the word atonement mean? You know, a lot of people break it down, say it means that one, but well, it does. One, Jesus. He's it. But the word atonement means to cover, and it means restoration. So when we think about the atonement of Christ, we're not just thinking about his atonement. We need to understand it means restoration. We were restored back to God because of his atonement for us. And then it means to cover. Now I'm going to cover some scriptures today, and you're probably going to say, well, now, Brother Melvin, we've heard these scriptures 50 times. We've heard them 100 times since we've been saved. Well, you probably have. What I want us to look at today is these scriptures applied to the atonement of Christ. Not just what they are in general, but they're applied to the atonement of Christ. See, there's more to it than just some of these scriptures I'm reading. They all relate back to the atonement of Christ. Okay? First of all, let's look at how they're typified. How is the atonement of Christ typified? Well, it's typified by the Passover lamb. Go back over, go to Exodus chapter 12. You might want to mark Exodus chapter 12 and hold it, because we're going to be referring back to Exodus chapter 12 quite a bit. You know, Exodus chapter 12. First of all, the atonement is typified by the Passover lamb. Exodus chapter 12, look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a what? A lamb. According to the house of their fathers, a lamb for every house, for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to eating shall make you account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So we're looking at the Passover lamb, verses 1 through 5. But now I want you to notice also, look at verse number 11. Now we see what we've got. Now look at verse number 11. Here. And ye shall eat it with your loins girded, and with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the what? The Lord's Passover. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about the Passover, but we're talking about the lamb. The Passover lamb. And that's what he said here. He said, eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And that typifies Jesus Christ as our Passover lamb too. So we see here in these scriptures in Exodus, he's not only the Passover, it's typified, it's the Lord's Passover, and that's what that was for them back in Egypt when they were, God's fixing to deliver them, but it's a lamb. Now, as we think about that, think about our Passover lamb. Now their Passover lamb was that lamb. Our Passover lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, let's go to John chapter 1. Like I said, you might want to hold, mark that and hold your place there. Yeah. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 29. John chapter 1, verse number 29. Yeah. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So Jesus is our Passover lamb. And that's what we see here. John said, behold, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover. So we find that here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a lot I could say here, but I want to get through at least this lesson today. I won't get into some of the other stuff, but 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Of course, leaven is a type of sin. We know that. Verse 7. Purge ye therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He was our Passover lamb. Now back in the Old Testament, they used the lamb, which was a Passover for them, but Christ is our Passover lamb. And we find it right here. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now, with this in mind, knowing that Jesus is our Passover lamb for us, and the actual lamb was a Passover for them back in Egypt, let's look at a few things and compare these. Now, you probably heard them, but we're going to look at them in comparison today, how they were typified. Let's go back over to Exodus chapter 12. The first thing we want to look at today, Exodus chapter 12, is we want to look at the fact that that sacrifice had to be without blemish. Exodus chapter 12, and look at verse number 5. Your lamb shall be what? Without blemish. See, God don't want no inferior sacrifices. He don't accept inferior sacrifices. If any say, it don't matter whether it was a lamb or a sheep or a goat or a calf or whatever it was, He don't want no sacrifice that wasn't pure. Now, He didn't want a sacrifice that had a blemish of any kind. He didn't want it. See, God demands the best, and He gave His best when He gave His Son. So we find here that the Bible says, your lamb shall be without blemish. They didn't need to be bringing no inferior lamb in there because God didn't want it. So their lamb had to be without blemish. And it says the lamb first year should take it out of the sheep from the goats. So that lamb had to be without blemish. Now, you know, I thought about that. You think about when Abraham is going up on the mountain to offer Isaac. He got everything ready, and he said, the lamb, he said, everything's ready. And he says, where's the sacrifice? About that time, we heard a bleating over in the bushes. He said, my son, God will supply a sacrifice, but what I want you to think about this, where did he find that lamb? He found that lamb in the thickets, and he was caught what? By his horns. Now, if that lamb would have been caught any other way than by his horns, he would have had a blemish on him, and old Isaac would have been in trouble, and so would Abraham. But that lamb was caught by his horns, so therefore he didn't have a blemish on him. See, God don't want no inferior sacrifices. And I believe today, I'm afraid a lot of times, a lot of saved people is giving God inferior sacrifices and doing things not about half right. I say we, because I'm probably guilty as anybody. So that lamb had to be without sacrifice, had to be without blemish. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we see that sacrifice had to be without blemish. Now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, for as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And I'm going to say today, praise God, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ being a lamb without spot, without blemish, no marks on him, nothing inferior about him, no sin in his life, he was perfect all the way through, our sins would never been forgiven because of that, because he didn't have no spot or blemish on him. It took the Son of God and all his purity and his virtue and his righteousness and his godliness and his kingly position, it took that to cover and pay our sin debt. If he'd had anything at all. Now I know he was accused of being a blasphemer. He was accused of being a gluttonous man. He was accused of being a friend of sin. He was accused of a lot of things. He was without sin. Many scriptures. Let's read that again. Verse 19. But without the precious blood of, and I want you to notice that word precious. Precious. I'm sure each one of our wives and our families are precious to us. With the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish or without spot. Boy, that sacrifice we had up there on the cross, he was without spot or blemish. You couldn't find nothing wrong with him. You couldn't find anything to say about him. It don't matter what nobody says now. I don't care what the ungodly crowd says. I don't care what the agnostic say. It don't matter to me what they say. Our sacrificial lamb, our Passover lamb was perfect, and he was without spot and blemish. They can say what they want to. They don't know what they're talking about. And then the next thing we want to look at, too, is the fact that That sacrifice had to be slain. That sacrifice had to be slain. Go back over to Exodus chapter 12. Yeah. That sacrifice had to be slain. Exodus chapter 12, and look at verse number 6. Yeah. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day, the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall what? Kill it in the evening. They had to kill it. That word slain means to kill or to slaughter. So when they had to kill it, they had to slay it or slaughter it. That sacrifice had to be slain. They didn't just get that sacrifice out there and say, well, he's without spot and blemish now, he's fine. No, that didn't get it. It had to be slain. Now we're going to find out in just a minute why it had to be slain. Probably, I know you know. But that sacrifice had to be slain. They didn't just get that sacrifice out there and say, well, now Moses, you and Aaron, you look that thing over now, and I want you to look at it, and if it looks good, we'll go ahead and they had to kill it. It had to be slain. So that sacrifice had to be slain. Go to Revelation chapter 5. Yeah. Revelation chapter 5. There's a lot I could say about some of this, but I want to get it in. Yeah. Revelation chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 6. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Yeah. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a what? A lamb. A lamb. Yeah. Which had seven horns and seven eyes and were the seven spirits. Say, four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, and then the rest. That sacrifice had to be slain. See, Jesus didn't just go on the cross and suffer. He died. He gave his life and died. He was slain and died. Just as that sacrificial lamb had to be in the Old Testament for their Passover, it had to be slain. It wasn't a matter whether he had blemish or not. He had no blemishes, that sacrifice. But he had to be slain. And I want to say to you today, and you know it, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, he was slain on the cross of Calvary, and he gave his life for ungodly people like me, and he died for me, and he died for the sins of the world. He had to be slain. You know, he didn't just get up on the cross and hang up there for all the time he did and suffer. He was slain for us. He was killed. He died for our sins. You know, so that sacrifice had to be slain. And then the next thing we want to look at is there had to be bloodshed. It's always been blood. People say, well, good works get you to, well, if good works will get you to heaven, why does God say that blood had to be shed for sin? It was that way when Adam and Eve sinned and had to kill an animal. It's been blood. So the next thing we want to look at is it had to be blood shed. Go back over to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And let's look at verse number 6. Yeah. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take what? The blood. It took the blood. They didn't just kill it and forget about it. It took the blood. To get that Passover, Lamb had to shed his blood for their salvation to get them out of there. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post, and on the houses wherein they shall eat it. That had to be bloodshed. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Now we can, people can say what they want to, but I'm going to tell you what, and you know it well as I do, there ain't no man, there ain't no priest, there ain't no preacher that can go, and their sins, my son, and I'm not being ugly. God knows I'm not. But I'm saying, there ain't no man, I don't care who he is, that can forgive sins apart from Jesus Christ, and it took his blood. It took his blood. Pure blood. Precious blood. Righteous blood, godly blood, kingly blood, royal blood. It took his blood. He had to shed it. So people say, well, I don't believe in that blood. But they don't believe in the blood. They ain't saved because it took the blood to save them.
Amen.
So we find here, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts of the door. Now, you know what happened? You know what God said? He said, when I send that death angel by a son, if the blood ain't up over the doorpost and the side of the lintels, he said, you're going to be left behind. And I hate to say it, but there's going to be a lot of people going to be left behind when that trump sounds. Or when they go over the way of the grave, they're going to be left down here because they don't have the blood applied.
Amen.
See that? And let me say this too. There ain't no prayer going to save nobody. Yeah. I've heard people say, well, now you pray a prayer with me now, son, and you say, no, that prayer don't save nobody. It takes the blood. And that's why Jesus gave it. It took his blood. Just like the Passover lamb, there had to be blood shed. It wasn't just a matter of them dying and being slain. They had to shed some blood somewhere. So we find here that blood had to be shed. Now, go back over to 1 Peter chapter 1. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Took the blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse number 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, we just read that scripture. Yeah. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And there's other scriptures in the Bible that talks about him shedding his blood. So I'm not going to get into that, but it took the blood. So we find here not only it had to be without spot or blemish, but also it had to sacrifice, had to be slain, and then it had to be blood shed. And then the next thing we want to look at, you know, there's a a little bit of a difference there. The Bible says it's impossible, and we're going to look at it in a minute, for the blood of goats and bulls and calves and turtle doves and pigeons to cleanse sin. So, now, that Passover lamb that the blood was shed for, they had to do that every year. Now, we're going to look at it in just a minute. Go to Leviticus chapter 16. Now, see, there's a difference in cleansing of sin, and there is covering sin. There's a big difference in cleansing and covering. Leviticus chapter 16, look at verse number 29. Verse 29, Leviticus 16. Yeah. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, you notice it's the seventh month, God's number of perfection and completion. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all. At all. What does that word all mean? It means all. Not any. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Whether it be of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 30. Yeah. For on that day, now I want you to notice what God says here. And on that day, what day? The Day of Atonement. Once a year. That day. Not another day. Not just any day the priest, high priest decide he's going to do it. That day. For on that day shall the priest make an what? An atonement for you to cleanse you that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. What did he say? That day. Alright, now what? This is the difference in covering sins and the difference in cleansing of sins. Alright, look at verse number 34. Yeah. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. So what is that blood that had to be shed? What did it cover? It covered them. It didn't cleanse them. Because it said on that day, and then in verse 34 it said, on their sins once a year. Once every year, the high priest, not the priest, the high priest, I'm going to get into that in just a minute. The high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies, holiest of all, same thing. He had to go in there with blood. He had to, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. But we need to understand that that only cleansed their sins for 1 year. And then the high priest had to do it all over again. Why? Because that blood wasn't pure blood. That blood wasn't perfect blood. That blood wasn't precious blood. That blood was tainted. It was animals. But it took the blood. So it took the blood. All right? Yeah, that only covered it. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Boy, I tell you what. Man, I could... Boy, if this don't do something. Hebrews chapter 9. Let's look at verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 9. Make sure I'm in the right place here. Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah, and look at verse number 6. Yeah. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. Notice it said the priest. Went into the thus ordained, the priest went in always into the first tabernacle. That's not the Holy of Holies, the holy place, the most holy place. That's the first one. Accomplishing the service of God. But unto the second went the high priest. Now that second tabernacle, that second one was where the high priest went in, and that was the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. They didn't nobody go in there, apart from the priest. God kill them. But they didn't go in there. Now watch it. But into the second veil went the high priest alone. Okay? Once every year. He did it every year while we just looked at over in Leviticus. Alright? Now. Yeah. But once every year, not without blood. See, that's why that blood didn't do any good in them animals. He had, the high priest, Aaron, whoever he was at that particular time, he had to shed blood for his own self to cover his sins before he ever went in there. And if he'd have went in there without blood, God had killed him. As soon as he went through there, God had killed him. He had to sacrifice blood for his own self before he ever even went into the Holy of Holies. He only went in there once a year. He said, well, I'm the high priest. I'll go in there twice. No. He might go in there twice. The second time, he ain't coming out. He only went in there then when God told him that was the annual day of atonement. All right? Not without blood, which he offered for himself. Why? He was a sinner. Aaron was a sinner just like everybody else. And for the errors of the people. See, that's the difference. That's why it was only covered for a year. It didn't cleanse their sins. It only covered it for a year. That's all it did. Now, watch this. Look at verse number 11. Yeah. But Christ, being come in high priest. See, he's our high priest. Not only is our Savior, he's our high priest. Oh, yeah. But Christ being in high priest of good things to come. By a greater and more perfect tabernacle. See, that tabernacle back then wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. Tabernacle we got now in heaven with Jesus is perfect. Ain't no flaws. Yeah. And more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. Yeah. Now see, that tabernacle back then was made with hands. Now I realize God gave Moses the plans and told him how to do it, and he did it accordingly, but man made that. It was God's plan, but man's hands made it. Alright? That is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. How many times did he enter in? Once. One time, when he took that blood to heaven and entered into the Holy of Holies and presented it on the mercy seat, that's all it took. That's why we're cleansed. But by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't have to do it one time. Yeah. Son, our sins are cleansed. Somebody look at me and say, you've done this and you've done, I don't care what I did. They're gone, they're forgotten, they're in a God's sea of forgiveness, and they'll never be brought. Why? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us. So you see the difference in the blood. You see the difference in how it was with the Lord Jesus Christ. How it worked. And then verse number 13. For if, that's a big word, if the blood of bulls and of goats and of ashes and the heifer sprinkling of the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. So that word purify means to be made clean. And all that did back then was cover it, purify them, and made them clean for a while, but it didn't cleanse them. How much more shall the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want you to notice too back in verse 12, he entered in once in the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for, it's eternal. Our sins are cleansed for eternity. You know, you can say, old Melvin, yeah, but my sins are gone. They're gone, and so are yours. So is everybody's washed in that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, very familiar scriptures. Good night, man, I'm going to have to get on a stick here. Ephesians chapter 1, and you could probably quote these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Find it over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. Same thing. How many sins does it cleanse? Well, now, it don't cleanse them all now. I've had people tell me, well, there's some sins. The only sin that's not forgiven is blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. All the rest of them forgiven. 1 John 1, 7. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time. I want to get through with this. 1 John 1, 7. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But all sin is forgiven for us. Look at 2. I want to say this quickly too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to look at this. Not only did He die for our sins, but our sins, He cleansed us from all sin. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. Yeah. For God hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. So what did He say? To be sin. Jesus became every sin that ever man ever committed on that cross. Yeah. What did He say? Committed Him to be sin for us. Yeah. Who knew no sin and we might be made the righteous of God in Him. Good grief. He became sin for us. Yeah. Man, I've got so much here to cover. What have we got? 5 minutes, Stanley?
Yeah, he is
about 5. Well, I'm gonna cover this and I'm gonna quit. Why did Jesus become our atonement? Why? He became our atonement because man is a sinner. Man's a sinner. I don't have time to turn to all these scriptures, but in Romans 5:8, where it's forced by one man, sin into the world, death by sin. Adam of Romans 5:12, Romans 5:8, but God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. See, people say, well, if you get yourself straightened out, He died for me when I was a sinner. If I could have saved myself or got myself straightened out, why would He have died for me? He died for me because I was a sinner yet in my sin. And there's many other scriptures. 1 Kings chapter 8, 46 talks about there's no man upon God's earth that sinneth not. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20 says there's no man upon God's earth that sinneth not and is good. We know we're sinners. And in Romans 10:23, we've all sinned and there's none righteous. So all through the Word of God, man's sinner. So I'm going to close with this. Why did Jesus become our atonement? The first thing is because we were sinners. That's why he did it. See, he didn't just get, up there and be our atonement for the sake of doing it. He had a purpose for it. And these scriptures, I just quote him, if I had time, we'd have read them. You know, we can quote, but that relates to his atonement. Why'd he do it? Because men are sinners. Men are sinners. So the atonement of Christ. Father, thank you for this day, and I don't know where the time's gone, but I thank you, God, for the time you've given us. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'd bless the service today, give the preacher power to preach. Now, I pray for these people, God, in our church. Our Lord is having a hard time, spiritually, in whatever area it might be, physically or whatever. I pray, God, you'd bless them, encourage them, help them to realize that Jesus Christ is in charge of all of it, and he knows exactly what's going on. I'll thank you and praise you for all you do, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I brought my own Kleenex today. Appreciate you. My tea.
Yeah, man,
Mike Stepp. No, I haven't been down there. I've been over to John and Gail's last week. And you know where I used to live? Southern Terrace. If you turn up there at the Highway Patrol Station, turn up there and go down. It's that road, not Southern Lane. It's the one before, the first one to the left. And go around that curve and live up there right up on the hill. I don't know the address right offhand. But they live, you'll go around the curve to the right. I believe it's the second house on the right. It's one that's kind of up on a hill, kind of like a two-story. I don't remember the address.
Yeah.
he ain't doing good either.
I talked to Gail.
Appreciate that. That's good.
Appreciate it.
She there for a while. She indicated they didn't really want the company, so I didn't pursue it. That's been back a year or so ago.
Yeah.